The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
11 minutes after 7. Anything which helps and brings some more attention to good conservative media, or at least even just fair media these days, is what we're talking about. I'm happy to give it a good blast here. Christopher Ruddy joins me. He's the CEO of Newsmax Media, Inc. It's the parent company of Newsmax, which is America's fastest growing cable news channel. Christopher, I've never had the pleasure, but I'm glad we have you on finally. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm really great to be on with you, Bill. And I think we're like old friends because we probably share a similar worldview.
Yep. Worldviews we share, but just different channels, different medium, you know, that kind of thing. But
well,
Newsmax is... Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt
you
there. Go ahead.
Nowadays, I would say there is no one. Everybody's on every platform practically, right? So your show will be on podcast. It'll be on the internet, on terrestrial radio. Some people will write about it on social media. It's a huge sort of new change for the new media, and it has good things and bad things involved with it.
Yeah, indeed. You better have multiple hats that you can wear, that's for sure. I wanted to talk, though, about a big change that a friend of yours, you know, Sandy, let me know about. I said, God, I'd love to talk with Christopher about this. And this is Newsmax going public, or a public offering, and I'm intrigued by this because, to me, it shows that, at least the way I'm interpreting this, is that it would mean Newsmax trying to take it to another level of accomplishment. Would that be a fair assessment of what's going on here?
Well, I think that Newsmax has had an amazing rise, right? We're now the top. Reuters just did a study. They said we're one of the top 12 news brands in all of the United States. We're the only new media company. We're the only one not backed by the ABC, CBS, NBCs of the world. And I think millions of people are tuning in. We say we reach about 40 million Americans regularly. And it's a huge Forbes magazine even said we are a news powerhouse now. And I think it's true. And I think the reason is, it's not because I'm a great business person or I'm a great media person. It's because the American people are voting with their remote controls, their devices, their downloads, their switches. They're tuning into shows like yours, Bill, and to Newsmax and to other programs. And they're saying, we've had enough. And that's why Newsmax is rising. And we felt like, why don't we go public and tie into tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans that want to join with us, become owners of Newsmax. And we're very close, as you know, to overcoming CNN and the ratings on cable news. We're now the fourth highest rated cable news channel in the United States. Very big achievement. And so we announced that we're going public later this year or early next year, subject to government approval. And we're also taking in early investors who are eligible for what they call a preferred round with 7% dividend. And people are going to our web address, which is newsmaxinvest.com. Newsmaxinvest.com, and seeing how they can participate if they're eligible. And we're really excited about the response we've had. We've had over 40,000 investors go on and say they're interested in investing. And it's been a huge number and a great success just in the past few weeks.
I'm really glad to hear that. And what I find interesting about Newsmax, and I've been coming more over to your fold, and you know what? Something that drove me, and you may laugh about this, even though it wasn't a laughing matter at the time, with the President Trump's assassination attempt in Butler a few weeks ago. We all remember that. You were one of the few channels out there that, you know, when there was something going on, you would let the people there, you know, on the scene just go rather than having blathering talking heads, you know, just kind of interrupting everything all the time. I don't know if you're in control of it that tightly that you make that happen, but I just really appreciated that aspect of Newsmax, that you let the newsmakers tell the stories at that time when it was going on. I really have to hand it to you because I tuned you to watch that.
Bill, we say that we're real news for real people. We believe that the American people are part of the news story. Like, we're just not there to tell people what to think. You know, Newsmax promotion says, you know, they let me decide. We let you decide. And, you know, some networks say they do, but we actually do. You know, I don't come out and say you got to believe this or that. We're an open network for people's views. And the left, really, at the end of the day, they want to control the thought process for people and control the flow of information. I believe in open information, open discussion. And if you go to Newsmax, for instance, President Trump loves Newsmax, right?
Right.
And he says it's his favorite network. He watches it all the time. He comes on the network all the time. I just spoke with him last night. And he thinks the world of Newsmax, so I don't think I'm telling anything out of school. Do you know we have people on that criticize him every day? We have Republicans that criticize him. We have Democrats. He has no issue with that at all, as long as we're fair and we're telling his side as well.
Exactly.
And we do that. And, like, we air the rally. Fox News said they didn't believe that Trump should, you know, they wanted to create him as a non-person. The head of Fox News said, we want to make Trump a non-person. I think that's wrong. That's not the business of a news organization. It's to report the news, and that's what we do, and give people the information to decide themselves.
Yeah, but that was my very point, though. Fox is one of the networks I've had a lot of criticism of, and a lot of times when there'll be big breaking news, a big breaking news story, it's you have very highly paid anchors that figure if they're not talking their head off, you know, somehow we're not getting the news. It's like, would you just shut up and show us what's going on here at the,
I think the firing of Tucker Carlson was terrible. You know, we still don't know today, why did they fire him? He was the highest rated cable news channel. Like, why would you not explain? Why would you fire him? It made no sense. You know, and a lot of people have gone to Newsmax because of that. Our audience numbers have been great. Rob Schmidt at night is getting a big audience. Greg Kelly, Greta Van Susteren. They're all tuning in. We're on every major cable channel now. We're on most streaming platforms. And you can download our app. Just go to Newsmax Plus, newsmaxplus.com, and download our app and watch us anywhere in the world. And it's a free trial to start, newsmaxplus.com.
I'm just hoping that as you get bigger, though, you don't get to the point where you go the direction Fox was, because you understand how Fox intentionally made a choice in the way they were running their network to do what they're doing now.
It's always a risk that any organization's going to change its way. Newsmax has 25 years of a track record of being straight, honest, and of delivering news that way. For 25 years, I'm running it. I have no intention of changing my path. I've been heavily criticized through the years. I continue down the same path. I'm not going to change what I think is an important mission for the country. And I hope that people are coming to join with Newsmax and we're watching us now. Many people are investing because they believe in that mission.
So if people invest in Newsmax, Christopher Ruddy is with me. He's the CEO of Newsmax. Is this something that you use to invest in the company? Let's say that maybe you get better production values, things like that. You amp it up that way, or you hire more reporters. What do you do with the investment funds?
That's a really good question. A lot of that, if people do go to newsmaxinvest.com, we lay out documents. We have a presentation, a video, a placement memorandum they should read, which lays out what the plans are for the company. But basically, there's three big areas for growth for us. One is our cable channel is growing. It's still growing, and it has room to grow. Even though we're the fourth highest cable radio channel, we could be the second or the third or the first. So we're working on developing that through talent distribution. And then second, our streaming channel that's on Roku and apps, Newsmax 2, is doing really well. That can continue to grow. And then we have our streaming service, which is called Newsmax Plus. And you'll see we have a lot of documentary films. John Voight just did a special series for us and is doing really well. So we're very excited by it and excited by the future. And, you know, people that want to join with us, if they're eligible and fit all the government requirements on it, can be a stakeholder. And we do believe going public will be good for Newsmax, and that's why we're seeking to do that.
Do you almost think it's one of those things, Christopher, that you get a lot of viewers to invest in it, even if it's the smaller part when the IPO, they just buy some shares of it? They're kind of taking ownership of the, they feel like they have equity in what you're doing there?
Well, if you look at we felt like, why would we go public? We've been private for 25 years.
Right.
We've been very successful. I felt like, hey, let's partner with hundreds of thousands of Americans through a public offering and have them be stakeholders in building this company. And then second, I saw the success of President Trump's company, Truth Trump Media, the Truth Social app. You know, he just had an idea, and it became worth as much as $10 billion at one point. Now, we're not saying that we will have the same success, but what I do think is that it showed that there was tremendous interest by the public in media that supports the values that are pro-American, that supports the values that we believe in as Americans. And there are very few opportunities to support groups like that. And we believe that there'll be a lot of people interested in owning shares. And it's a good thing. And so this is a democracy. We're trying to make our investments democratic in the sense of having the people involved, just as they're involved in our news process.
Yeah.
And so far, the response, I think I mentioned over 40,000 people have gone to NewsmaxInvest.com, or they say they are planning to invest. Now, not all of them have done so far, but we are expecting to close the investment in the next several weeks. We're hoping to. So if you want to get involved, now is the time to do it.
Now, I want to make sure that when you're asking for investments, though, it's not because you're circling the drain financially, are you?
Well, Newsmax has had 25 years. During most of that time, we were pretty profitable, successful, cash flow positive. When you're building out a network, you lose some money when you do that. So in the past couple of years, that has happened.
Okay.
In the documents. However, this year, we're projecting that our revenues are going to be up significantly, and that we'll do about $180 million in revenue. Then a cash flow adjusted EBITDA basis that we're going to be profitable. So there are a number of factors why we now get cable license fees and other things. So we have a long history of success on many fronts, and I think people will see that we did not have to go public. So that answers your question.
Okay, yeah,
because we think it's good for us and good for the investors.
All right, that's what I was wondering. Is the model of cable and satellite going away, though? Is this something that, you know, which everything's just going to be online? You're even talking about the Newsmax app, and at some point we won't even be talking about the companies keeping you off of a channel tier, let's say.
I missed a little bit of that. You said the Newsmax app, and then we might be talking about.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Is the model that is happening for eyeballs right now for eyeballs, still the satellite and the cable channel model, does that have long legs still at this point, or is it really going to be going mostly to your app as time goes on?
Still, it's a really good question. It's a smart question. I believe that the cable industry is restricting and contracting. However, Newsmax has a way to go. It's going to be with us, the cable industry, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good business model for a lot of companies still. And as long as there's live sports, live news, live events, people are going to pay for going into cable. So mm-hmm. that's a given. It's going to stick around. It may retract. Now, Newsmax has a lot more room to grow in that universe. So we're happy about that. The second thing is we're growing in all those streaming areas outside the traditional cable satellite world. We're growing on our Newsmax 2 streaming channel, on the Newsmax Plus service, on podcasts. So we believe that we're the real company at the cutting edge. We're doing all the things that media companies should be doing but are not doing. And it's one of the reasons why Reuters said we're one of the top news brands in the United States now.
Do you think we're getting back to the point, though, where news companies and news channels are planting a flag instead of trying to pretending to be, well, like Fox used to say, fair and balanced, and they never really were fair and balanced in that respect. But you know, back in the days when everybody knew that a certain newspaper in town was the liberal labor paper, the other one was a business paper. You think we finally got to that point where you have to plant a flag or not?
Well, I believe media should be honest. Newsmax has always had, you know, we always say we're an independent news agency with a conservative perspective. So we're honest about it. But we always seek out alternative views, opposing views. It's just part of our culture and DNA. Okay. I think it's important even people that have a conservative perspective get both sides. Fox used to say they were better about it. They actually dropped that using that because I guess in recent years it didn't apply. Now, it is true. Most of the history of the country, the press was very political, and everybody knew the political point of view of the local newspaper. Over time, when you ended up with just three major networks and every city only had one newspaper, they all tried to say they were fair and balanced and honest and independent. But the truth is most media in America is quite liberal, and it's gone even more further than liberal now in some aspects, very left-wing. I'll give you an example. You can't call an illegal alien illegal. Like, why? They're illegal. They crossed the border illegally. You can't say they're illegal. Well, why not? You got to call it. You can't call a terrorist anymore. You got to call them a militant. They kill women and children, innocent women and children. They're not army soldiers. They're terrorists.
Yeah. And another example would be like you can't call him a pervert. He's a minor attracted person. That kind of baloney, right?
And it's supposed to be a free country. You know, I'm not allowed to get advertisement because I call illegal aliens illegal. Like what? I happen to believe there are only two genders. I'm sorry, there are only two biological genders, but I'm probably the only head of a network in the United States that believes that. But I'm sorry, that's what I believe.
Nothing to apologize for, Christopher.
It's based on the science. And, you know, they'll say, well, follow the science. They follow the science until it doesn't fit their agenda. So I believe, you know, I think it's a free country. If anyone wants to identify as however they want to do that, the Constitution provides that they have the right to do that within limits of not harming somebody. And so, I'm perfectly open-minded to that, but I just don't tell me that scientifically there's 14 genders.
Christopher Ruddy. Newsmax. He's the CEO. Let me just get that all in there. CEO of Newsmax Media, Inc., which is the parent company of Newsmax. I appreciate the work that you're doing there of being a just fair, straight-ahead news network. Really are. And I will put your information up on my blog here, too, about NewsmaxInvest.com because you're going to IPO. When do you think that is going to drop here, Christopher?
Well, it's all subject to government approval, so I can't say it'll definitely happen. We do believe that we will be approved, but it will take at the end of this year, early next year. And again, people interested in finding out more, they should read all the information before they make any decision. Mm-hmm. NewsmaxInvest.com is the website, NewsmaxInvest.com, and join with us in our news revolution by going there.
All right. One of the reasons I'm happy about doing stuff like this or talking to you, though, is that I'm a big fan of us putting our money with people who are friendly to us rather than spending money with people who hate us, which seems to happen so often.
Well, people are voting with their remote controls. Vote with your pocketbooks.
Very good. Chris, thanks for the talk. We'll talk to you later,
okay? Sir.
Be well. 7:30, and this is KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Did your mobile provider just increase their prices again? Switch to Spectrum Mobile, the nation's fastest growing mobile provider. With Spectrum Mobile, you get unlimited talk, text, and data, plus nationwide 5G. Switching to Spectrum Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your phone balance up to $2,500. Stop dealing with price hikes from your cell phone company. Get Spectrum Mobile. Visit spectrum.com/itpays to switch for full details. Offer subject to change. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Joel here with another Butler Money Saving Truck Deal. Get $4,300 in Ford rebate, get another $1,000 in Ford trade assistance cash, plus $900 in Ford finance cash, and I'll tack on a $3,800 Butler Ford discount for a total savings of $10,000 off a 2024 Ford F-150 4x4 Crew Cab. Or buy a new 2024 Ford Bronco Sport for less than $27,000 when you have a qualifying competitor SUV. Also, I've got low interest rates, on everything. Edges, Escapes, certified pre-owned Explorers, Broncos, you name it. Butler says says yes to $10,000 off on trucks. Butler says yes to saving thousands on Ford Broncos. Butler says yes to low interest rates. And Butler says yes for more for your trade. Butler Ford and Truck Center, rated number one Ford store in Oregon by Google. Just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got the selection you desire and the guest experience you require.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer dot fee with vehicle count cost of $42,884. 72 monthly payments of $15.15 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit.
The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing as word gets out about their metal roofing division. Let's be a fly on the wall.
Yes, sir. That'll be ready for pickup on Tuesday afternoon. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. See you Tuesday.
Let me guess. Another order for a metal roof pickup?
Third one this week.
I'm getting pretty good at this. I'm feeling pole barn and Prospect.
No.
House and Hilt.
Uh-uh.
Garage and Gold Hill.
Nope.
Cabin and Keno.
Colder.
Riding Arena and Rouge.
Freezing.
A fort in Fort Klamath.
Brr, I'm so cold. I can't feel my toes.
I was running out of alliterations.
Well, you were on the right track. Warehouse in White City.
Well, that was my next guess.
Uh-huh.
But I can choose the color.
Go.
Brown.
No.
Green.
Try again.
Gray.
That's a big negatory. Ghost Rider.
Whether you'd like your metal roof manufactured and installed on site, or you're picking up to do it yourself, you can safely guess Fontana Roofing will create a metal roof that's perfect for your project. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Black, fuchsia.
I'm done.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Glenn R. Shamble joins me here in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk food, farming, land use, water. More importantly, what they're doing over on the east side of Jackson County especially. And after 8 o'clock, I talked to Mark Seligman. You know Mark Seligman, Joe County. And he is running for state rep. You know, he and Dwayne Junker taking on each other in this particular case. But he has just a... he's going after Lily Morgan and the John West recall petition that was filed last Friday. And I guess that they were ready to grab the cops and throw him out of the Gold Hill City Council meeting yesterday. So that's the way he reported it to me. So I guess they were going to get the cops on him. And so anybody that's going to get thrown out of a public meeting, I got to talk with him. We'll bring him on after 8 o'clock here for a few minutes. I think that'll be good. Hey, Tom, I was talking with Christopher Ruddy, and you're trying to get in on that. I know we talked a little bit earlier, but you were weighing in on the Newsmax conversation and how Newsmax was turning some people in your vicinity around to looking at some alternative news. Your household. Let's hear it.
Yeah, you know, I want people to know that you can get Newsmax 2 on the TV antennas. It's available locally, and... you know, I've shared my roof for some couple decades with I'd call her a socialist, and she never paid too much attention to me. But for the last 6 months, she's been watching Newsmax, and she's really, really made a major shift in her perception of what's going on. For instance, she always had a very disparaging view of Trump, but that's because that's all you ever hear on the mainstream news. But she's watched several presentations by Trump, and she's finally realized that it's been a snow job. The other thing that Newsmax is doing, they're telling the truth about the vaccines, the so-called COVID vaccines, which are not vaccines, they're not safe, they're not effective. But Newsmax is really talking, having interviews about that, and they're doing that with all kinds of subjects. And I've just been amazed at the transformation of my other half, that she finally just hearing truth and seeing truth. You know, TV is still very powerful.
Indeed it is, and you can't sell that short. And the fact that it's able to start, you know, moving a heart to being a little more open, a mind to be a little bit open to a different perspective, that's progress. It really is.
But, I think ignorance is our greatest enemy right now. And as Thomas Jefferson said, any country that expects to be ignorant and free expects what never was and never will be.
Yeah, it takes a smart, moral people to be able to hang on to freedom. And it's been a rough road lately. You know that. Thanks for the report there, Tom. 7:35, Glenn Archambeau. We're going to talk farming, food, water, a bunch more coming up.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars. And why? It starts with an overall knowledge of the area. But even more importantly, a local agent is a friend and neighbor who cares about the community just as much as you do. In the Medford area, that'd be my good friend Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Jared's a native of the Pacific Northwest, and his wife, Colette, is a former Oregon Young Mother of the Year. The Hokansons love Southern Oregon so much, they decided to raise their family there. If you're thinking of selling, Jared Hokanson guarantees to sell your home. And if he can't get it sold at a price and deadline you both agreed to, Jared will buy it himself. Some restrictions do apply. Find out what your property is worth for free and instantly. 541-772-SOLD.com. Call Jared today at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-7653. Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty.
News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon's infrastructure remains mediocre and earned an overall C-, according to the 2024 report card from the American Society of Civil Engineers. Aviation, bridges, drinking water, energy, ports, and roads earned Cs, while dams, stormwater, transit, and wastewater earned Ds. No system in Oregon was graded above a C. The Oregon Department of Transportation claims it's facing a $345 million shortfall and warning of large job cuts if the agency doesn't receive more funding next year. ODOT blames the shortfall on flattening revenues and inflation. They fail to mention the increased costs of raises and PERS contributions. Jackson County Fire District 5 Chief Charles Hanley has been fired after 3 months on leave. The Fire District Board voted to fire him last night. This comes after union complaints of bullying, harassment, along with budget and staffing concerns. I'm Bill London. KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
It's okay to ask for a little advice at Freddy's Diner.
Are you ready to order?
Ooh, always a tough call. Burgers, sandwiches, melts, fried chicken, smoked brisket. The daily special looks good, too. Any suggestions?
Well, we have seafood, too. Our hand-dipped fish and chips is pretty hard to beat.
Sounds good.
There's something for everyone at Freddy's Diner in Old Town, Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
We Built This City by Jefferson Starship was released in 1985 and quickly reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. And while their city was built on rock and roll, Millette Construction wants to remind you that your home was built on ordinary earth that tends to shift over time. So before you get knee-deep in a hoopla of sloping floors and cracked walls, ask yourself, do you remember? Yes! Call Millette Construction for a free inspection and estimate to fix your foundation. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
We built this city.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
7:39, Glenn Archambeau joins me, and he is our elected Farm Services Agency rep here in Southern Oregon. Been doing this, how many years have you been doing that again? Along with being a lamb rancher or lamb farmer, whatever you want to call yourself out in Phoenix. How you doing there, Glenn? Welcome back.
A lot of years is my only answer, Bill. I've done this a long time.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a bit about an email you popped me the other day about what's going on here when it comes to water, land use, and so much more. And it does affect farming and our ability to feed ourselves, although Southern Oregon doesn't really grow a lot of its own food, even at this point in time, do we?
No. And that fact is starting to come out more and more as we continue to consider building all these irrigation systems and continue farming. But can we really do that here, Bill?
Well, that's a question I'm going to pose to you. Well, it sounds like you're posing it to the people here. So Where are we when it comes to, let's start with irrigation first, because water, of course, talking with the Clouser Drilling folks and various other people, there's been a big focus on the water, the availability of irrigation water. Where does Southern Oregon, we'll just focus on Jackson County first, it's your backyard here. Where are we looking, or how are we looking right now with, and I'm assuming that the WISE project is continuing to be rolled out, correct?
A different version of it, but yeah, it's being rolled out. But remember, Bill, that means that it's also all across the western states. If you want to do anything out there on the land, you have to have a consideration of water.
Right.
And so, like here in Jackson County, that in the last couple of years was a huge issue. When we had, we ran out of water, we're still trying to fix that as far as the irrigators are concerned. The district has water, but can we continue forward? It's starting to look like no, because our land use laws got us into a position where, people can't farm. That's what's happened. And people need that land for houses. So we've, really got a lot of competition for the same piece of land.
All right. Now, how is it that our land use laws, which ostensibly were being done to protect arable farmland or good quality farmland, how is it actually working against the ability for people to farm here in Southern Oregon?
Well, let me tell you something that's happening right now. Okay, so much of the hay market has crashed, and that's because there's little farming here. So there isn't, hundreds of mother cows or all that of the past is now gone. So now we're going forward, and I'm going to ask people, what is it that they want us to do? Farms. Farmers, ranchers, that's over. It's time for the public to make a choice. Do they want the farms here or do they not? Right now, it looks like we don't want them here because we're in this real crash in the hay market. And that's really important because those little parcels, those little farms depend on that hay crop to pay their taxes, insurance, irrigation bill. I got a feeling a lot of that is not happening this year.
Why is it that there's been a crash in the hay market? Is it lack of demand or something else which is driving this? Because if people don't have animals, they're not going to need hay. So that would certainly do that, right. Wouldn't it? Be contributory?
If you look around Southern Oregon, you're seeing fewer and fewer head cattle and sheep, goats, bunnies, whatever. They're no longer here in large numbers. And the market here is looking to the bigger market on the West Coast, hopefully, people come by that hay. And hay is just an example, Bill. You can do the same thing with tomatoes, organic zucchinis. All of them have these problems that the public's going to have to decide that we're going to spend the money and the effort and keep going, or we're going to change gears, change where we're going. And you've got to figure that out now.
All right. The direction that we've been going then. So, and of course, you're in this business too with your lambs.
Yeah.
And I guess you just have the adult ewes right now. All the little baby lambs are off, out to
that's right.
other places here. Land use, I guess, is this since the Almeda fire that the focus has been on almost strictly housing, 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 and nothing else but housing?
Yes, except most of the attention paid to agriculture right now has been very negative, not helpful. It really worries me that we're not hearing out of Salem that the hay market's crashed. That's a big deal in a place like Oregon. I don't hear anything from them.
Well, this is the first I've heard of a crash in the hay market. You're the first person I've heard this from.
And I'm talking to a lot of people that are big and little hay people. They're either feeders or they're growers, but they're all telling you the same thing. That the hay got cut, the bale made, it sat in the field, and nobody bought it. I know where there's fields where hundreds of bales are now sitting with no buyers. How long that's going to exist, I don't know. But it's something to really contemplate because you apply this example to all those other crops out there. And something that has been coming out, Bill, is that we do produce not nearly enough food to feed this population. And the question is do we or do we not want to feed it? Or just, get out the big credit card and go buy food in another country, another state?
Are we are we working as a state when it comes to agricultural policy here, Glenn Archambeau? Are we still working on the under the assumption that there's always going to be an ability to take a diesel-powered truck and head down into the San Joaquin Valley and get produce and bring it up here and bring up cattle from the San Joaquin Valley? And I guess it wouldn't even be a diesel truck. It would have to be an electric truck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, an electric truck. Right. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But, yeah, if we are engaged business-wise in agriculture in Southwest Oregon, you have to play the game, which we're not playing. We need to have a lot better production, and we need to get more money for it, or we need to quit. And we don't seem to make a decision, though, Bill. And I don't know if maybe a lot of people just don't realize where we're at.
Well, you say that we have to make a decision. How does someone like me or someone listening to us, how do we collectively make a decision on the future of agriculture, given that we have state land use planning? We're the only state in the entire country that does that, that does this. Isn't this a fait accompli or not?
And that's right where this goes haywire, is when I have to turn this over to Bill to make a decision about agriculture. But agriculture hasn't made the decision. I mean, nobody has stepped up to the job is what ended up happening. And we all assumed that someone else would step up and, you know, take care of things. Where is our governor and staff? I haven't heard from them on these issues. And so they're just another example of people who never stepped up to the job.
Has anyone brought to the governor and staff's attention about the crash in the hay market, so that there could be an adequate response time or a response for this?
I would hope so. You would assume that the governor and other elected officials have staff who's fully capable of reviewing ag data and informing the governor or the senator, whoever it may be. Is that not happening? I mean, are people serving in Salem and oblivious to the fact that Oregon is a large agricultural state? I think maybe that might be the problem, Bill.
So the people serving Oregon are thinking of Oregon as a bunch of interconnected urban hive minds separated by some agricultural areas, and they'll just take care of themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of what looks like is happening.
All right. I'm talking with Glenn Archambeau. He's our elected Farm Services Agency rep here. What role, though, given that you are a federal person here, too, in the midst of your of your private business, could United States federal agricultural policy be contributing to some of this laissez-faire, hands-off attitude coming from state of Oregon and not really paying much attention? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, when you move east from the West Coast, you engage agriculture and the USDA and a whole really different group of people. They are just bewildered by our land use policies and our water policies. They don't know what to do with that. But they're a different world. You go back to D.C. and talk to them about agriculture. Oh, my God. It's frightening. I guess all of these people assume that somebody else somewhere, some idiot with a straw hat, is going to fix America's ag system. And so what's basically wrong is really simple. Go in the grocery store and buy some food. Can you afford it? No.
No. Well, a lot of times you can.
That's a big one. That's really simple stuff. Mom understands exactly that she's telling the kids, no, we're not buying any chocolate milk.
But I would also say that locally produced agriculture, the reason there's maybe not more of it is that you can't compete on price with larger, I guess, what do they call them, concentrated animal feedlot or feeding things, cafes, right?
Yeah. Confined animal feed operators.
That's it. See, I'm not a farmer.
And the state of Oregon is just hysterical about that. Now, that's something that the governor did respond to was CAFOs. They hate them. They're certain that the world's coming to an end. That's a great deal what happened in the Klamath Basin and the Klamath River, which was all about big cattle operations. And now look where we're at now.
I'm talking with Glenn Archambault, our agricultural Sherpa, kind of getting a beat on where we find ourselves with ag right now. Glenn, I'm going to ask you a little bit later here in a minute or two on maybe reform that you think would be worthy of discussion here. So have an idea or two, but let me go to line two and see if they have a good question for you. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. You're with Glenn Archambault.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Glenn. This is Jeff and Selma.
Yeah, Jeff.
Okay, back when they legalized pot growing, all around the Illinois Valley, all of the hay fields got turned into pot growth.
Yep.
So then the hay market dwindled as far as the supply, so the prices shot up. So the people like us, I mean, we have goats and things, you couldn't afford to feed the animals. And there were, like, horses going through the auction for $20. A head.
Wow.
$20 a head? Really? Horses?
Right.
Wow.
You couldn't hardly give a horse away. You had to pay somebody to take them because nobody could afford the hay because the price doubled because all the fields went to pot growing. So now people have gotten rid of all their animals or they've gotten out of the hobby farmer lifestyle. So now all the hay's laying in the field because all the animals are gone. All the hobby people have just about given up. Or like we had 31 goats, we're down to 4.
Mm.
Right.
Wow.
So I just throw that out there for Glenn to chew on.
So we could be dealing then with a negative feedback loop based on what happened when everybody went into the pot and hemp world, right?
Well, you remember the great vineyard wine glut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A few years ago, everybody's buying up hay fields, putting in vineyards. Then we got the wine glut, and the wine prices tanked because there was so much of it. And then people tried selling off their venue.
Boy, we keep doing a lot of boom and bust on here, don't we?
Oh, we do. It's the gold rush all over again.
Okay. All right. Hey, I really appreciate that. Jeff, thanks for the take on that. Your thoughts on that when it comes to his evaluation of hemp and pot having or marijuana having done a lot of that, driven some of these issues that we're fighting with ag? Here in Southern Oregon, Glenn?
Yeah. Jeff's review of this is absolutely correct. That's exactly what was happening. People with whole lot of small, pet-like animals, little goats and lambs and what have you, they disappeared in droves. Last year, we sold no lambs here in Jackson County. They had to go elsewhere. There were no buyers. And I think that is traveling through all of agriculture, including the grapes, the pears. All those people have a huge issue over they have no labor. They're really short on labor. And that's going to come back to really bite us. Bill, there isn't enough stuff going forward that's positive, and that's really worrying me.
So what are we building this expensive irrigation system for via the WISE project or whatever else it's being called now? Why are we building this if there's no ag?
I agree. You remember, when you're touching water in Oregon, though, if you're some totally not connected project to ag, but you still have to meet all the water requirements.
Uh-huh.
The water and the land use really put a drag on the economy when it comes to agriculture.
Is there any reform that you... Now, this would be your opinion. I know you're the elected Farm Services Agency rep, but you certainly can have an opinion in this, too. What are possibly needed reforms that you think might improve our situation? And they're always talking and bleating about resiliency and food security here in Southern Oregon, but there doesn't appear to be much push to really do anything about that in Oregon. What do you believe might be something that could be done?
Well, somehow we got to get the price of food at the store down. I think we are going to see some really bad effect of that going forward. So to get the price down, you got to take the thorns out of the backside of agriculture because that's where the price really gets set initially. Whatever grows then gets a price put on it. But by the time it gets to the store, it's that route between the farm field and the plate. It seems we gain overhead terribly right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have just like any other business, you got to start working on overhead.
What role does corporate activity tax play, if any, in problems with ag? You know, in which we tax businesses that get successful enough, even as a farmer. You know, once you're having over a million a year, I think you have to start paying corporate activity tax.
Right. Boy, was that a bad choice. Because we knew that it was going to put a bite on agriculture when that got passed.
Mm-hmm.
That was very clear. And so look at where we are now. We've been promised for years now that the price of food was going to go down. Never happened.
Glenn's here. Glenn Archambault. Let me go to a couple more calls here before we take off.
Sure.
Glenn. That's why I like to talk with you about. These are things that I never hear about. I never see any articles about it any place. And I'm hearing stuff. You know, this is the first time I knew that we had found out that we had a hay problem. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, let me go to line two. Hi, you're on with Glenn. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Randy in Central Point.
Yeah, Randy.
Hey,
what do you think?
I want to echo what the last caller said about the hemp taking over the hay fields. So a lot of people either got rid of their animals, or like us, we didn't get rid of our animals, but we just started sourcing our hay from out of the area. You know, I'm driving up to Roseburg to get hay.
Wow.
Because it just couldn't afford to get it here. So I invested in a bigger trailer and truck, and I haul in what we have, but we just have a little, you know, little hobby farm, this sized place. But they just priced themselves out of the market.
But now apparently they're not, because there's a crash in the market here.
Well, it was too late. I got my hay this spring. From up north, because the people were still trying to, you know, hold on to the old prices early in the year this year.
Oh, all right. Hey, Randy, I appreciate that take. This is another echo here, Glenn. Let me go to next line here. Hi, you're on with Glenn Archambault. Who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, it's Lynn. Hi, Bill and Glenn.
Hi, Lynn.
Yeah,
Hi, Lynn.
We're experiencing that. You know, we're just a small little hobby farm, cannot sell our hay. I'm not sure I agree with the last caller, because I offered our first cutting hay at $6 a bale. It's beautiful hay. Not one call. And I haven't. And the second cutting hay, which is usually better and you can charge more, I offered it for $5. Not one call.
Really?
And so another issue also, I talked to my neighbor who lives behind me, and he's 81, and he's been in ranching his whole life. And he said one of the problems that people are also having with these small hobby farms is that the hay equipment has to be small to get into through the fences and stuff. It's just a small pasture with a small gate.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, these balers and machines are incredibly expensive to repair. And so that anyone who's been hay cutting is just getting out of the business, because it just doesn't pencil out. And he said he's been looking for months for a used rake. He can't find one. And he doesn't want to spend $10,000 for a brand new rake. And we're losing our hay cutter again this year. So I'm thinking this is our last year we're going to do hay. And we got enough for a couple of years, but I don't know what we got a couple calves. But in 2 years, will I be able to find some cattle that someone wants to run on our property, so at least I can get the grass eaten down?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Boy, so this could be what we're, in fact, as bad as it is right now for some in ag, Lynn, I'm almost hearing that what the real disaster could be coming a couple of years from now. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people are going to rebuild their small hobby farms again after the pot farms went away, but it was so destructive.
Yeah,
all these pot farms that came in.
Well, I know that big pot farm out on Highway 234, the one that had all the burnt up crappy plastic all over it. They got busted the other day, $64,000 in code enforcement problems, but I still don't think it's been cleaned up.
Going in just down the road from us at Fern Valley Road at the freeway entrance, there's the hoop houses going back up. So
hoop houses going back up? Really?
Yep. So I don't know. But it is disturbing, and I keep thinking, where are the hobby farmers? This hay is so cheap, you're not going to get it any better anywhere. And nobody's interested. It's just weird.
Well, yeah, so. That is odd. Hey, Lynn, thanks for sharing your experience about this. This is more of a problem. You know, Glenn, when I learn something, I always feel happy about it, even though this is not a happy situation. I had no idea this was going on. And this, as much of a challenge as the hay, as it is for the hay market this year, what's really going to happen is that this almost looks like a giant feedback loop. What part of Oregon agricultural policy, if anything, can contribute to something like this that could be reformed if there were people, even within the governor's office? And don't we have an Oregon Department of Agriculture that should be paying attention to this? Or maybe they're not.
ODA.
ODA.
Yep, they're involved. And then all the federal agencies are very much present in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to confirm something, Bill. What Lynn just described, absolutely correct. That's exactly what we could spend all day listening to stories from people around the county that are to the letter, just what Lynn explained.
Is the culture against agriculture in Southern Oregon, is the actual culture that we have here?
Yeah, it is. The age of agriculture, timber, and mining have long passed. And so now we're in the remnants of it.
So we're going to have our sustainable, 15-minute, climate-friendly, equitable Jetsons city, you know, and then magic food will arrive on electric vehicles, right?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Huh? All right.
I know that part of that we don't like farms is really well established in Jackson County.
Why?
It's because they don't like them, Bill. They don't like noisy tractors and big people, you know, yelling and making noise in the middle of the night. You know,
well, but if you can't make noise in the middle of the night in rural Jackson or Josephine County, when can you? When can you?
God.
Or where can you?
You can't without being, you know, confronted with somebody or some agency. You know, because Bill, all you got to do is pick the phone up and call Code Compliance and make a complaint, sign your name, and you're good to go. Got a whole legal system to pursue others in your benefit.
All right. Well, as the Farm Service Agency rep, you're raising the alarm, and okay. Who do you think is first point on this when it comes to elected officials? Is this a county issue, a county concern, or do you have to go up higher in the food chain?
It's got to go to the governor's office.
Governor's office. Okay.
Yep. Got to go. I mean, she's lead person about, you know, policy and not being strictly, you know, run by law. She's the one can come up with a bright idea to change our state. And we got to change it, Bill.
All right. Glenn Archambeau, I appreciate it. I wish I could end on a higher, happier note here, but this is just realism. And it doesn't get more real than food and agriculture and water and land use here in Southern Oregon, okay?
No,
Glenn Archambeau, thanks so much. Love you back. Anything else you want to add before we take off?
Yeah, just one second here that's really this is a public health issue. We have a huge number of farms and fields that are no longer being operated, so there's big stands of grasses everywhere. Do not let that stuff catch on fire. You haven't seen a fire until you've seen a hayfield fire in full bloom. Oh, my God. So I'm warning people, you know, like you said, you didn't know there was a hay crisis, and you're a well-informed person. I want to make sure people understand how dangerous this has become.
So you have these fields that are not being cut, not being sold. People get out of the business, but the hay keeps growing. Yeah.
The step's still sitting there. A lot of it got mowed down, but it's still really dangerous. Oh. I mean, we needed to have mowed the grass, made bales, and got it off the field. That didn't happen.
All right. Appreciate the take on that, Glenn. We'll have you back and keep me in the loop. Keep me in the room there, okay?
I will.
Yeah, because, boy, no one else has been telling me about this kind of problem, but we appreciate you. Thank you, Glenn. It's 5 minutes after 8. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford. KPXG Grants Pass. We'll catch up on other news here in just a moment, too, and maybe even check in with Mark Seligman, who was almost hauled out of a Gold Hill City Council meeting in chains. I don't know. He'll tell me the story. Hang on.